Hello, and welcome to R&R's Ask the Expert. I'm your host, Valerie King, R&R's Editor-in-Chief, and I am joined today by JP Corpy, public adjuster and founder of K-Factor Advocates, which is located in Big Timber, Montana. JP and his staff of insurance industry professionals assist residential, commercial, and agricultural property policyholders with structural and property damages of all sorts. They help with negotiations, insurance policies, technical language interpretation, claims estimating, and other things. But that isn't what has always been the case, because JP started off as a contractor. He has many years of construction experience in residential and commercial structures with a keen understanding of rapid emergency mitigation services, including board-ups, crime, trauma scene, and biohazard recovery. He has more than 15 years of experience in the construction and restoration industry, most recently as an owner and operator of a regional restoration company in northern Wisconsin and northeast Minnesota, which he successfully sold to a neighboring colleagues before founding K-Factor. Which brings me to our topic of discussion today, insights from the other side. Based on JP's perspective as a former restoration contractor, now adjuster, we'll hopefully glean some useful nuggets of knowledge that restoration pros can put to work, particularly as it relates to working with adjusters. So thank you a ton for joining me, JP.
Hey, thanks for having me. I look forward to this. It should be fun.
Yeah, same here. Okay, so for starters, could you provide us with an overview of your objectives and your responsibilities as owner and public adjuster at K-Factor Advocates?
So the objective of K-Factors is to basically be an advocate for the insured. For our friends and neighbors who find themselves in that horrible position of a Category 3 water loss in their basement, then they throw up their hand and say, now what? When it comes to negotiating with their insurance company that says, this is what your claims were, for being that intermediate voice between the contractor and the insured, helping out with the navigational process of that. So my team is experts in this. I have some of the best and the brightest we could find to put together to help with this process.
Awesome. Thanks for that. So setting the stage more, could you dive a little bit deeper into what K-Factor Advocates do and the kind of clients you serve typically?
Well, typically speaking, I mean, we're in a pretty rural area. So we deal a lot in the residential market. We are in the Rocky Mountain West, primarily with the majority of our clients. So we have a lot of wind and hail claims out here. So we've gotten really good at working with those types of files. We do a lot of farm and ranch properties, a lot of large agricultural endeavors. We dabble a little bit into crop damage. And then, of course, we do have our typical commercial work, our mid to small size commercial structures that we wind up getting involved with.
Awesome. And I don't think I asked yet, what states are you licensed in? What states do you work in?
So I personally am licensed in Montana all the way through Michigan. So the whole like upper northern section. So specifically would be Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, the Wyoming, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, myself personally. However, I have team members scattered all over the United States.
Very good to know. Okay. So a backup question here, just for those of us who don't understand fully, can you help explain what a public adjuster is versus a claims adjuster or an independent adjuster?
Well, I'm going to take those two latter first. I'm going to kind of peg the independent adjuster and claims adjuster, or i.e. also known as the desk adjuster, the guy behind the scenes. I'm going to kind of put them into a separate category for a second. Those two guys, those two roles are specifically designed to work as the eyes and ears for the carrier to try to justify and then indemnify in some sort of manner their insurance from their aspect. However, a public adjuster, or better known in my world as an advocate, I really step in as a voice between the two. I don't really deal specifically with the independents a whole lot. Our whole purpose is to work out with our insureds, work out with our clients. What does it take to return your structure to pre-loss? A lot of these people have no clue what just happened to them. They have no clue which way to go. So as an advocate, that's where we step in to work strictly for the insured, our clients, your customers.
Thank you for helping clarify that. All right. So in your experience, I'm curious, would insurance companies rather a client advocate like you not be in the picture in a given project? Like, how do they view and treat you? What's their reaction when you show up?
That's a really cool question. They initially out of the gate, they're like, oh no, you know, we've got a PA involved. They all kind of like step back, and right away the file gets escalated. They're like, oh no, these guys are out to get us. But really, by the time we get that second and third email off, and we're working with these as really as partners, trying to get these claims indemnified and get these insured returned to pre-loss condition, they realize, hey, this is pretty cool. We have somebody doing all of our work for us. They're taking more photos than we need. They have more documentation than we're after. They've already tell us what we owe and where we owe it and why we get to it. They understand the manufacturer's installation specifications that I produce for them. They understand what state laws and what building code is. So really, once we're halfway through these files, these people are looking at this thinking, hey, all I have to do is validate this guy's work who's already done all of my work and pay the claim. So initially, I think to answer the question, initially there's like, oh no moment. And then they're like, hey, this isn't all bad.
Okay, switching gears slightly, I read that one of your hashtags is kicking the fox out of the hen house. Thought that was kind of funny, and I guess it's sort of a tagline for K-Factor Advocates. So can you explain?
Yeah, so it's kind of a regional thing on top of it because we are heavily agricultural out here in Montana, the Rocky Mountain West. And it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek slogan, but the truth of the matter is we really don't need the company's adjuster trying to justify or trying to pay the claim. They do have a certain amount of bias. Insurance companies are not designed to specifically pay out claims. They're designed to pay dividends to stockholders. Their best interest is not to pay claims. They really don't want to pay them. They have to pay them as a part of the business model, but their whole plan is not to do it. So is there a little bit of a bias? We think so. And I think that we can help with that.
Okay. All right. Now I'm ready here to dive into the topic of switching sides. First, why did you do it? Why do you move from being on the restoration side to the adjuster side?
You know, that's a really good question. But it really comes down to empathy. I know it's kind of hard to understand unless you've been in it. I've been through from both the claimant side to the restoration side, where I see the confusion, I see the fear, I see the lack of understanding. I've worked as a restoration contract for many years, and the one thing we did do is we make sure we took the time, we explained to our clients what the process is like, and trying to bring back that sense of calm to the whole situation that really these desk adjusters and these independent adjusters, quite frankly, don't have time to do. These poor people are buried. They're work off of a check sheet. They don't know what the process looks like. They say, yeah, just deal with your contractor. The contractor's like, yep, I'm buried. And they kind of move on. So we kind of seen this whole avenue that I'm like, what about the person in the middle here? So everybody talks about the insurance company. Everybody talks about the restoration contractor, but we're missing a key person here, a key party. What about the insured, my client? What do we do with these people? So we really dug into it just for the sheer fact of clarity and helping bring calm back to this whole thing and bring common sense back, find this realm of reasonable to move forward on.
Thank you for that. Okay, so I'm curious, back in your property restoration days, what was your view of adjusters and how at all has that changed now that you've become one?
Well, first off, I don't feel I'm an adjuster. I feel like I'm an advocate. I advocate using real world common sense, real world numbers, and real world situations to come up to it. My opinion has not changed much of these. You have independent adjusters who most of them work as for TPA firms who are all bidding to the bottom for quality of work, for the value in the claim. Some of the quality of the independents, in my opinion, are not there. The desk adjusters don't have time. Desk adjusters are not mitigation and reconstruction professionals. They're adjusters. So really, my opinion hasn't changed much.
Interesting. Okay. So what have you learned about adjusting or adjusters that you wish you knew back when you were a restorer?
They don't really care about the money. They care about making their jobs easy. They really don't care about the dollar value of the claim. They worry about putting the check in the box. I think the big misconception that's there is that the larger the claim, the more the fight. Now, the more boxes they can't put a check in, the bigger the fight. So really, I wish I would have understood that a little bit deeper. But outside of that, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And what have you learned about property restoration from this other side, this other perspective through your adjusting experience that restoration contractors might benefit from knowing?
You know what? I'm going to turn that question around because I really don't think that there's a whole lot. I've come to the realization, and it's been strongly embedded and proven time and time again, that our restoration contractors, they're really good. By the vast majority, these guys got it figured out. They've been in the burnt out house at 20 below. They've been walking around in the category 3 sewer loss in the bottom of the hotel. They understand what this is. So to answer the question is, I think that the one thing that I've learned is these restoration guys, or these adjusters, have a lot to learn from restoration guys.
Okay, intriguing. I'm going to keep going down this rabbit hole of switching to the other side and what perspective that's brought. So more specifically, as an advocate for the insured, what tips can you offer restoration contractors who are, you know, who want to understand, who want to make sure that they get paid in full? Tips for them to ensure they get paid in full.
You know, it gets old and they get sick of hearing it, but it's the truth. It's documentation. It is photos before we start our mitigation and a mitigation file, photos before we tear everything out, photos when we walk through, photos. On top of the photos, it's the software and the documentation. Why did we do it? How come we tore this stuff out? What are we doing with the stuff? It's really, truly, at the end of the day, we can put any invoice together we want. We can put any dream estimate together we want. But if we can't document, substantiate why we did it, it's not going anywhere.
Okay. Any advice, another layer here, any advice for ensuring a smooth encounter with each other from a relationship perspective, from a, you know, yeah, dealing with each other between adjusting and restoration?
You know, I think it's coming at it from a, let's give the other guy the benefit of the doubt. Let's not come to the assumption just because we have a senior large loss adjuster coming through, he's coming through to, you know, bust down your estimate or change your scope. Give him the benefit of the doubt coming into it. Let him set up his own direction of the file. And I think that is, if you can get that initial trust established right out of the gate as the benefit of the doubt, and then follow up with clear, concise communications, keeping everybody in the loop as the scope changes, as the process matures, that goes a long ways.
Okay. All right. So you talked about misconceptions earlier. Just curious if there are any other glaring misconceptions, whether it be perceptions of adjusters, perceptions of restoration pros, perceptions of working together in the process, or something else, just based on your experience as a restorer and now as an advocate for the insured.
I think the biggest misconceptions is that what restorers do is easy. You know, the adjusting world, it's as close to printing money as you can get. Man, they haven't been out in 20 below digging through a house to get contents. They haven't been through the systems like we have. I think the whole overall misconception from the insurance side, looking at the restoration side, is it's easy money. It's far from that. They're not the ones taking a call from a technician at 1:30 in the morning. They're not the ones dealing with Mrs. Insured who doesn't know what to do, specifically with her stuff. Does she keep it? Does she throw it out? They're not in the middle of the trench with it. So I think the biggest misconception is that this is easy money, and it's far from that.
What notable ways has your experience on the restoration side helped you today with what you're doing with K-Factor Advocates?
You know, I think coming from the restoration side to K-Factor Advocates, I think it's great because I can see the layers that actually go into a file. I can actually see and understand what did our restoration contractors and partners go through to get to this point, where without having that background in restoration mitigation, you would be just looking at the sheet of paper and a few photos and assuming it went all perfect. But actually, once I've been there, been through it, seen the small losses, the large losses, you can start to make some more sense of their file.
Okay. On the contrary, do you ever find that that prior experience that you have on the restoration side causes, I don't know, challenges or conflicts? I don't know what those might be, but curious.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really create any conflicts from the restoration side. It does from the carrier side, because I do understand what it is. And it's, I can argue that case for my clients based on why are we dealing with this? Why are we here? When the carrier's giving pushback, said, well, I don't know. You know, that's what the restoration guy said this build is. This is why the restoration build's here. I can actually come back and say, hey, wait a second. There's a lot that went into here. So if you take a look at the file, here's where they're coming from. So the conflict, sure, the conflict does come probably from the side of the carrier's adjuster not really understanding, and they're thinking we're pushing them, but we are, because we understand the full picture.
Have you found any differences or key differences with running a K-Factor Associates versus when you were running restoration companies, or not so much?
So running K-Factor Advocates is different than running a restoration company in a couple of aspects. Is I'm not just dealing with my company's money anymore. I'm not just dealing with my own invoices anymore. I'm dealing with my client's life. My client has trusted their entire file to my team. That's a huge amount of responsibility. They're like, hey, here, take this. We don't understand this. We're scared. We don't know where to go. I know you can do this. Please let me know what I need to do. So yeah, I take it a lot more personal, because it's not just my invoices and my team. My fingers are drastically intertwined with people's lives at a very, very personal level. So yeah, it's a very big responsibility.
Okay. I want to backtrack again to the people at the end of this that you're advocating for. I'd like to know more about the demographics here. Not everybody calls a public adjuster or a client advocate whenever things fall apart for them. So who are these people? Why are they coming to you? Is there something special or unique about them we ought to be aware of?
You know, they're pretty savvy, really, when you think about it. I mean, most people don't try to file their own personal taxes to get their $3,000 back on the federal taxes. But now they're dealing with a $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 million insurance claim. Why would they handle that on their own? They're going to go to a professional. Most people realize that the insurance company's primary goal is not to indemnify them by any means. Yes, they want the file to go away. Yes, they want you to be satisfied. Yes, they want the renewal of the policy. But no, they don't want to pay a dime more than what they should or what they feel they should. And a lot of times people are afraid of that bias that insurance company has. It's literally, once we come full circle, we have the fox guarding the hen house here, and people realize that not necessarily does that insurance company have their absolute best, most pure interest at heart, that there could be a bias there, and they don't want that bias. They want somebody to speak up and to be their expert.
Thank you for that. All right. I'd love to end on your most memorable project, switching gears here a bit, perhaps either your worst or best or something else, and why it's so memorable.
Wow, we've had a lot of great clients, a lot of great projects, a lot of great success stories. But I have one that wasn't necessarily the biggest file or the most glamorous file, but it really touched me. So we were working on a really mid-sized home in the state of Montana, and the my client had a tree hit their house. They worked with their corporate adjuster, and corporate adjuster came up with an estimate of roughly $13,000 to replace a side of a roof that was substantially damaged. They called me. They're like, you know, this just seemed low. This doesn't seem right. I don't think he gets it. I think he's missing. And I'm like, well, you know, it's just a side of a roof. Let me come take a look. We walked through the property. My team got involved, brought in their experts. 68 days later, we settled the policy at limits. That was pretty incredible, because we actually got to return this young family. I mean, these people were at the end. They didn't know what to do. They knew that it was substantially more than what met the eye, but they didn't know where to go with it. So yeah, it wasn't just a success story from a monetary aspect, but it was like, look, we got to help a family that really actually needed us.
Very nice. All right, I lied. My real last question for you is a big one. In what notable ways have you seen restoration and adjusting evolve over the last decade? And what are your predictions for the future?
Wow, that's a pretty easy one for me. I'm going to say technology. I think it's touched every part of our world, every part of our life. We can measure a roof from the sky. We can measure a house exterior elevations from the end of the driveway. We can walk through a home and 3 hours later have a 3D imagery of everything in it, right down to the sizes. A lot of my clients now are getting app links sent to them by their desk adjuster says, hey, why don't I just do a virtual inspection? Which is great for me. So I think really the technology is going to stay with us as it evolves, as more comes out. We're going to constantly see it, which is a really a great reason to have an advocate at your side, get somebody actually that's going to walk out there, get a full understanding of the loss. Yes, a picture's cool on an app phone. However, let's walk through these structures. Let's figure out what the true damage is. Let's touch, feel, and smell it so we can get these structures returned to pre-loss condition.
I think that's such a great note to end on. Thank you so much for this interview, JP. I've learned a lot, and I think the listeners will probably feel the same. A very cool story about switching sides, so to speak. I want to ask you before we go where our listeners can connect with you to learn more about K-Factor Advocates.
So you can find us on LinkedIn, you can like us on Facebook, or you can go to our website, kfactoradvocates.com.
Perfect. All right. Listeners and viewers, for more insights on restoration, remediation, and the people behind it all, visit our website, rnrmagonline.com, Apple or Spotify. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to follow the podcast to keep up with our latest episodes, and please give us a quick review and rating. We are also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, so we invite you to follow us there too. This has been R&R's Ask the Expert. Thank you, as always, for listening.